Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, western and northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. So we get into all kinds of different stuff. We've got your college football weekend. Talk more about the Red River rivalry. What happens with Spencer Rattler? Huge game in Austin this weekend. Is the winner the one of the participants in the Big 12 title game? Winner between OSU and Texas. Do our top 10 nationally. At the end of the show, we're going to say a farewell to one of the most iconic characters in TV history. Last night was his final episode. Leroy Jethro Gibbs. Does that name mean anything to you? Dear God, Jared, have you not ever seen NCIS?
I have not seen one episode of that
show. Are you kidding me? How, first off, how in the world have you been able to avoid seeing an episode of NCIS since 2003? It's on every other channel.
Wow. I don't know. I just
this just became a way more fascinating topic than I thought it was going to be.
What does NCIS even stand for?
Naval Criminal Investigative, not unit. It's the Navy Police. Mark Harmon.
Okay.
Mark Harmon, former UCLA quarterback, right, is Leroy Jethro Gibbs. It's only been the number one show on TV for, I don't know, a decade? I'm serious.
It's been the number one show on TV for 10 years?
I think it may even be longer than that.
How long has Breaking Bad been off the air? Has it been that long?
Yeah, but it wasn't. Breaking Bad was never rated the number one show on TV. I'm talking about watchers. I'm talking about the ratings. NCIS, I'll pull that up. Man, this just got way more fascinating than I thought. College football, also NFL. Craziness going on in the coaching circles with both last week's Urban Meyer stuff and now Jon Gruden resigning. Talk about what happened over the weekend in NFL-wise. Last night, an incredible comeback from the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson set all kinds of records last night as far as just single-game things nobody had ever done in the NFL history. So we'll talk about that. Top five, bottom three as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a shout on the text line or give us a shout through the phone lines. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is log on to KADSAM.com. The other, download the Paragon Communications app. That app has all things Paragon Communications. It is radio stations. It is the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News hits the website tomorrow, or actually tonight, I guess, at midnight, thepennynews.com. Check it out online. Let's see, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV this week. The Elks hosting Weatherford, but it's on a Thursday. Remember, Thursday games, because most everybody's on fall break. Then you also have, whoops, Merritt. Who's Merritt play? Do you remember? Golly. It's on the tip of my tongue. Moreland.
Where's that one at?
I believe it's here. I believe Moreland comes down to Merritt, if I remember right from yesterday. Yep. Moreland at Merritt. It's also a Thursday game. So a chance for the Oilers to really kind of solidify their spot in the playoff chase. So that'll be fun.
Moreland will be tough.
It will be. Skinny on Sports Podcast. You can hit the show entirely. You can go back and hear us on all kinds of different platforms. iTunes. You've got KADS website as well. I'm shook, Jared.
I can tell.
The pronouncement of that you've never seen an episode of NCIS has got me completely shook. I'm off my game. Talk for a little bit while I regather my thoughts.
Okay. Better shows. Breaking Bad. The Walking Dead in its early seasons.
Oh, good God. That's not even close.
In its early seasons.
It's not even close.
I can go on and on. Like, Mad Men. I know. Pretty much just keep it tuned to AMC in its heyday. NCIS, just a ripoff of CSI. Come on.
No, it's really not. It's really not.
I just don't get into those shows.
It's really not. Ted
Lasso's better.
The reason why is because of Leroy Jethro Gibbs, the character that was created, and Mark Harmon. Man.
Whew. Okay.
That's crazy.
It's like you're reading a eulogy or something. I mean, calm down. It's just a show. Isn't there like 50 spinoffs of this thing, too? That's why I don't get everything has a spinoff. There's a dozen CSIs. There's like five other NCISs.
Mm-hmm.
I can't keep up. Law and Order started it with that craziness of spinoffs. Just stick with one show. That's why I stopped watching Walking Dead, because there's like four spinoffs. Just stick with one.
And because it turned out Walking Dead sucks.
It sucked as it went along. It kept going on and on. Like, well, we got to find an ending here. We got to stop. And I stopped watching.
That was the ending. You quit watching.
As did a lot of other people.
Yeah. You know who?
It just went on and on and on. Like, come on. That's why you see more and more shows stick with a 3 to maybe 4 season arc. That's it. I think Mad Men even went on a little bit too long. But I was invested in that, so I stuck with it. But anyways,
In the Heat of the Night. Boy, it's been a long time since I thought about that show. You remember that one? Carol O'Connor. And, dadgum, I can see his face.
You know, honestly, the series, it's been a while since I've really got hooked into a good series. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what it is.
Maybe you ought to go back.
I like the miniseries, like the OJ thing they did a few years ago, and it was just a story of the OJ trial,
right?
And that was it. Or right now they're doing one about Bill Clinton,
yes,
impeachment. I get hooked into those.
Howard Rollins was Tibbs, not Tubbs. Tibbs. It was a 4-seasoner, then went away, and then came back. It changed networks. Went from NBC to CBS. 88 through 95.
Like, ER went on too long. I loved ER in the early days, you know?
Well, you're just talking about, you're just continually telling, you know, reasons why shows weren't as good as NCIS. This is season 19 for that bad boy.
How many seasons? Yes, 19.
Season 19 for that bad boy.
Man.
Don't kid yourself. But here's the problem. They might as well end it. Because it's not going to be the same without Leroy Jethro Gibbs.
Okay.
It's just not.
So the show's not ending. He just stepped away.
He's going to be just a producer. Last night was his final episode on camera for Leroy Jethro Gibbs.
Okay.
And so now we're going to have to figure out a way for McGee to carry the show. Sorry about McGee's luck, but that ain't happening. Ducky.
McGee.
He's one of the other guys. Ducky, he's like the medical examiner. It was all tied into Gibbs. Just not going to happen. They might as well stop it.
Sounds like it.
Let those guys go somewhere else and do something else. But, man, I not that you weren't like a fan of the show. I just can't believe you managed not to see a single episode. It's literally on in syndication on like 4 different networks.
I'm just
like, when you scroll through your guide,
you know, I think
you're going to see that show like on multiple.
Do I need to, if I just say pick up a show, if I see it in syndication, do I need to know any kind of backstory of these characters?
Yes.
So then, no, forget it. You just mentioned how many seasons it had. I'm not going to get invested into that.
Well, here's the problem, though. There's certain, you know how these things go. There's certain storylines that continually are kind of under the radar, mm-hmm. but they're always kind of going. And that was the case with this one. And so, you know, you've got to kind of meet the, but it's not the same. The one thing that it did a really good job of, and part of it was people, you know, the actors and actresses wanted to do different things. It kept the momentum with different characters leaving and coming. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was to me the sign. And, but the whole reason why it worked is because of Gibbs. Because he was the main man.
Okay.
And he was able to mold and shape anybody that came to him.
I felt like if
into
I could.
A great agent.
Like if it was middle of the day, nothing else on, and I found like a episode of Law and Order on, I could watch that without knowing all these characters, you know, because they just followed a case. The entire episode, it was one case.
And I think for the most part, you could do that with this one, just depending on, but it would depend on what show, what episode you picked up. Like, you're right about that with Law and Order. It was like Seinfeld in that way. You didn't need to watch the week before to know what was going on that week.
Right.
Because it was all, each episode was different from the other. This one, for the most part, you could do that unless you picked up when one of the storylines was arcing back up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would be kind of, you'd be confused. But for the most part, it was just kind of the same way, just that you know, a different case for that week.
Right.
But there was always that underlying Lager and we are different people. And so,
well, now now I feel like if there's nothing else on and I'm,
you've got to at
the
least
TV
watch it one
like,
time.
Well, there's that NCIS show. I might
yeah,
as well
but
give
it has
it a
to
shot.
Be. It has to be the original NCIS.
Okay.
It doesn't need to be LA.
Wasn't there one like New Orleans?
There was a New Orleans.
Scott Bakula.
There's just now a Hawaii kicking off.
Hawaii.
CSI or NCIS Hawaii.
Didn't they revive
CSI? It looks like Bill Peterson's back. On CSI Vegas. Didn't the first one, wasn't it just CSI in Las Vegas?
I have no idea.
Way back when. And William Peterson was like the star. I think I've seen, during football the other day, it seemed like I saw some promos for CSI Vegas, which is just CSI from the beginning, right?
You know what show they brought back in a weird way?
What?
Yeah, I mean, they revived it or rebooted it.
Walker, Texas Ranger?
They rebooted it. It's just called Walker.
Is it Chuck?
No, it's a different guy.
Oh, well.
Totally different guy. In different city. It's not even Dallas. It's in Austin.
Oh, of course it's in Austin.
Yeah, so it's tanking, obviously.
Yeah.
It started off good, and now it's ending bad.
Yeah, probably overrated. Let me guess. It's got the biggest budget in TV, and it's about 25th in the rankings.
Yeah, something like that. It's hanging in there.
See the ratings and everybody. Yeah. Everybody after the show.
I mean, Walker
is over,
isn't back. That's what we're trying to tell you. It is not back.
After the show is over, all the critics get on there like, Walker's back. This is great. And then the ratings come in, and it's like, 35th again.
Well,
just not working.
Maybe
out.
Maybe next season for Walker in Austin.
It's funny how when we don't talk about sports, how much people want to talk
they
about
really,
their own stuff.
They really get engaged.
We've got the best cop show ever, Dukes of Hazzard.
I guess that's a cop
Roscoe
show.
Roscoe P. Coltrane.
You know what show I really liked as a kid was
Dukes of Hazzard.
Quantum Leap.
Well, you're Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula. Because when I was a kid, we went skiing, and I ran into him.
Really?
In the mountains.
Like ran Colorado. Into him or just
no,
saw him?
No, he was at in the lodge area. Oh, okay. And my mom was like, that's Scott Beckett. I'm like, who's Scott Beckett? It's like, that's Dr. Beckett from Quantum Leap. I'm like, oh, whoa.
How did he get here?
So I went over and said hi to him. I didn't get an autograph. I said hi to him. I said, I watch your show. I said, thanks.
Billy, I've never seen an episode of NCIS either. How have you people... I'm just amazed that you're able to avoid it.
Yeah, it seems like it is on every network, even the Weather Channel.
It's on there a lot. I mean, my gosh.
Oh, well. What are you going to do?
Andy
right
Griffith.
There with you, Billy.
Andy Griffith's great show. Anyhow, wow. It's amazing. But so Gibbs is done. Gibbs is gone.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
It's a horrible deal. It's a horrible deal.
That's funny.
Has there been a character in like shows that you've watched? I mean, maybe depending on who you liked on Walking Dead and how long you stuck it out.
Well, as soon as you got hooked on a character,
they were gone.
Eaten. Yeah. Does it mean a character that I really liked and they went away?
Yeah. On any show, it doesn't have to be. Walking Dead was just one that a lot of people died on that one.
That's a great question. I'd think about that.
I mean, didn't it feel like...
I mean, this is risky because...
spoiler alerts.
A lot of people are going to stop watching because he's not on it.
Maybe me. didn't you feel like right about the time where our man Gus was really coming into his own on Breaking Bad, it's when they blew his face off. Because it took...
He needed to go.
Well, you know, I mean, it's the nature of the business. But you know what I'm saying? That once the arc really... I guess what I'm saying is they didn't leave him too long to where you were, you know, like they maximized him.
Yeah.
To where right about the time you really got to know him, boom, see ya.
He was an evil dude. But yeah, but if you're going to go, that's the way to go. I mean, everyone remembered how he went out. He just didn't disappear. I mean,
when it happened and he walked out and you're thinking, no way.
How did he survive that?
And
he did not.
Yeah, then the other half of his face is gone.
Yeah. No, I have to think about that, of a character that was beloved and then they're gone. And sometimes that happens and shows just don't survive. That's what I'm saying here.
Oh, listen,
Well,
first off, they've made it 19 years, so it's not like... it hasn't worked, but I don't know how you go on with this show without Leroy Jethro Gibbs on it.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough out.
I think it's impossible.
Oh boy.
Yeah, he had one of his like mentors that would come back, and he'd always tell him some kind of valuable lesson, and at the end he'd say, "Gunny," because you know he's a Gunny.
Right.
Every time. Godspeed, Gunny. Rough segment back there for the talk sports crowd. My phone was blowing up. Okay, I guess we'll have to talk sports. Last night, let's talk about the game last night right quick. It was a kind of a blessing in disguise for my fantasy team.
It was a blessing for my team.
Yeah, see, mine was in disguise because... lots of things I don't like about fantasy football, but with the advent of these every week Thursday night games.
Yeah. Oh, you forget, don't you?
No, I didn't forget. Oh. But it forces you into choices you're not ready to make. And so because the Rams were playing at Seattle and that matchup for Tyler Higbee, the tight end, was better on paper, I went with him instead of Kyle Pitts, the rookie from Atlanta. Well, you get to like Friday night or Saturday, or Friday night, I guess it was, and you find out that Calvin Ridley didn't make the trip to England with Atlanta.
All right.
And I'm immediately, as soon as I heard that driving back from the game Friday night, I went, darn it. I want to play Kyle. Obviously, I would play Kyle Pitts, but guess what? Didn't matter because they had already played on Thursday. So that's one thing that kind of sinks. But the good news is, because of what happened last night with Mark Andrews, it didn't even matter. Because I was sitting here, Drew and I had such a close game, and I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose because of that stupid Thursday night game, and I had to be forced to make a choice I wasn't ready to make.
Yeah.
And then Mark Andrews had 42 points, and it doesn't matter. Obviously, Gabe had Mark Andrews as well. It's funny. You know, here's the thing. For people here, their fantasy football teams get huge boosts when Sooners or Cowboys do well. And last night, there's a ton of people that got that boost.
Oh, Hollywood.
Hollywood Brown.
Hollywood Brown pulled me out of the fire.
I just saw this stat for the first time ever. On Monday Night Football, Ravens stars And OU football alums Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown each had 100 yards receiving and 2 receiving touchdowns. They are the first NFL teammates from the same college to have 100-yard games and 2 receiving touchdowns in the same game in the history of the NFL.
That's crazy.
Lamar Jackson, let me read off all these things that he did that kind of that happened last night with his game. So before after last night, there have been 4,017 games of 40-plus pass attempts. This is all courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info. So there had been over 4,000 games where a quarterback had thrown it 40 times. Lamar Jackson now has the highest completion percentage in any of those games at 86%. Lamar Jackson is the first player in NFL history with 400 passing yards and an 85% completion percentage. Jackson accounted for 499 of the Ravens' 523 yards on Monday night. He threw for 442. Carson Wentz became only the fourth Colt to throw for 400. Can you name the other three?
No.
Peyton, Andrew Luck, and Johnny Unitas. That was actually an easy one. I mean, considering who played quarterback for them. If you happen to think of the best three, you'd have got it. Sometimes that's not the way that goes. But the Ravens, man, down 19 at one point. And I think that was the third largest comeback win in Ravens history, led by Lamar Jackson.
It's a weekend of comebacks for the Sooners.
just kind of kept on. And I did see the Ravens, or maybe his OU's football account, tweeted out, it's still happening with walk-off touchdowns as Hollywood won that game in overtime. So 31-25, the Ravens beat the Colts. Just a phenomenal, fun game to watch throughout.
It was very good, very fun, and the reason I was very invested is because of Hollywood Brown.
Because of fantasy football.
He was my one guy who needed to help me out, and he did. But, yeah, you know, Ravens continue to exceed our expectations, or mine at least.
Yours, not mine.
You were high on him.
I was
odd because of the running back depth, but clearly you don't need a running back if you could throw the ball like that.
You know what's crazy is they lost 3 running backs to season-ending injuries, have picked up guys off the scrap heap. And now there's people trying to trade for who they picked up. I mean, it's crazy. But it shows a few things. One of those is that Baltimore is just one of the most consistent, best-run franchises in NFL. Year in, year out, since moving from – it's amazing that they moved from Cleveland, which was not so well-run for a lot of that time, to Baltimore, and things completely changed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's amazing how that happened. So the Ravens 4-1, leading that division over 3-2, Cincinnati and Cleveland. What else kind of caught your eye this weekend on the field in the NFL?
I think we got – I know this has always been said, but the quarterback position, the youth is looking really good. I thought that game between San Diego – I keep doing it. The Chargers and the Browns was proof of that. Baker started slow, but he picked it up later. Of course, Herbert is Herbert, man. I'm high on that kid. I thought that was, you know, and you see that across the league. I think try to think of any other games. Obviously, Dallas. I mean, I think the real question. Okay, the defense has been answered. Has it been answered?
They're better.
Is it better? I mean, is it where
definitely,
it needs to be because the offense is so good?
Definitely better.
I mean,
definitely
it
better.
Got to the point on Sunday afternoon when we were kind of texting each other, everybody was, about we're just waiting for Diggs to have his weekly interception. And then, what was it, like 10 minutes later, boom, it happened. And so it's better to the point of the offense. Now I keep going back to who's going to slow down Dallas's offense. Outside of Dallas themselves.
Right.
Who could that be? That's on their schedule.
You know, that's
Kansas City. Oh, my goodness, their defense is no good.
It's pretty set up pretty well for the Cowboys because their schedule isn't very hard. I mean, they're playing, what, a third-place schedule from last year?
Right.
And so when you look down, and you've mentioned this, after the Bucs game, they could easily be 8-1 headed to what we thought was probably a loss at Arrowhead. That's no guarantee anymore by any stretch. You know, you got at Pats. The at Vikings game next Sunday night, I think, is a little bit tougher. All right, two Sunday nights, actually, because the bye comes up for Dallas after this week. That's a little bit tougher game than I think maybe you thought. That could be one where, you know, the Vikings going up and down the field on people offensively. That's a challenge for the defense. I think this week will be one of the biggest challenges for the offense with the scheming of Belichick and that kind of thing with the Patriots. That's a game that I think Dallas should win, but it's one that you could potentially see them losing. The Broncos have a really good defense, we thought, and then Pittsburgh went up and down the field on them. Falcons are horrible. And then you got that at Chiefs game, which, what, first one to 50 is what you would normally think, but that, you know, that'll be. Doesn't it feel like people are starting to figure out Pat Mahomes a little bit?
Yeah, I was gonna say this is a question that we might need an entire hour to have to answer. But what is wrong with the Chiefs?
Their defense is horrible.
They keep putting Mahomes in the offense in a bad position. Well, they're trying to catch Mahomes up.
Mahomes is turning it over. And people are smart enough, finally, not to just let him throw it down the field to Tyreek Hill. And so it's a little bit like what you see defending the offenses in college that are so explosive. Make them take 10 plays. Can they be patient enough? Can they execute well enough to go on those 10 to 12 play drives and still put it in the end zone if you don't just give them a shot over the top to Tyreek Hill? And it's proven to be pretty effective. I think we saw this last year from the Raiders especially. Even though, you know, it may not have been the result, they still, as a matter of fact, they beat them at Kansas City, I think, if I remember right, but kind of the blueprint of how to do it. And it's a college-style defense, like a bend, don't break, don't let them hit one over the top and make Mahomes stay patient. And to this point, he hadn't really been able to turn the ball over way too much, and then that defense is just terrible. And yeah, so, and guess what? There's also that, I mean, it's not a real thing, it's not a tangible thing, but the Super Bowl loser curse or what, that's, I mean, is that what's happening? I mean, think about this. I mean, I think everybody's just kind of blowing off this possibility, but the Chiefs are two full games behind the Chargers. And, oh, by the way, the Chargers have already won at Kansas City. So essentially, it's three games behind at the moment in the division.
That's
now they're just
in a better division than what we thought. Then
way better.
That's going to be.
Now here's the thing, and it's going to bring up the next topic. It has been a better division than what we thought, but is one of those teams fixing to tank, and that is the Las Vegas Raiders.
There we go.
John Gruden last night resigned after 10-year-old offensive emails surfaced and came to light with his opinion about the way that Roger Goodell was turning the game. There were some comments about Demaurice Smith, who was the Players Association leader. And so these come to light, and Gruden has been forced to resign before he got fired. That's semantics, probably. I mean, he's essentially fired over this and chose to resign to try to, as his words, not be a distraction. It is just a, man, who would have thought that we'd be sitting here and decade-old emails would take down John Gruden as the coach of the Raiders?
That's the world we live in. It's unfortunate. It's makes, I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm not defending anything you said or typed, I guess. It's deplorable. But, you know, Josh Jacobs, when asked about it before the resignation and asked his opinion about it, he said, man, people grow. So it frustrates me because we're taught all our lives as young children all up to now, and I'm teaching my kids this, is to forgive and you know, to accept apologies and move on. And now we're not even practicing what we were taught at a young age. Again, not defending what Gruden sent an email. I haven't read them. I don't care to. But at what point, you know, he apologized, and why can't – what happened to forgiveness? That's what I'm asking. it's not there anymore.
It's only available for certain few. It depends on, unfortunately, a lot of times, your politics.
Right.
Whether or not you get that olive branch of forgiveness or the cancel culture that Gruden just got. My problem is, listen, if you want to fire him and make him resign for what he said, do it. But quit with the hypocrisy. Because who is going to be employed by the NFL for the Super Bowl halftime show? Dr. Dre, Eminem, those types of people. What about their lyrics? Does this not cancel them out of that job? And if you want to say, well, they're not really employees of the NFL, fine. That's fine. What about Kareem Hunt? He is on video beating up a woman. It's beating true. Her up. Playing. He didn't get canceled for beating up a woman. Not just saying mean things in an email about a woman. He was literally beating her up. He gets to play.
Right.
Who else is still getting paid? Deshaun Watson. He's accused of sexually assaulting 24 women. But he gets to be, I mean, he's literally still eligible to play.
Yeah.
The Texans just won't pull the trigger. But he's eligible to play and is getting paid. So if you want to, listen, fire John Gruden. Make him resign for what he said. That's fine. It is. It's fine. What he said was awful in a lot of ways. Now, you know, one of the main things they're pointing at was his criticism of drafting Michael Sam out of Missouri, who was one of the first people to come out as a gay player, and he uses a word that starts with a Q. Well, LGBTQ uses the same word. So I don't know how that's offensive when one guy says it, not when it's literally the title.
I guess it's a context thing.
I don't know. And then, oh, by the way, whose team is the first only openly gay player in the league right now?
That's
whose
right.
team was that on?
Yeah, it's the Raiders.
On the Raiders.
Yeah. And a very effective player, might I add.
I mean, so like you said with what Josh Jacobs said, the ability to grow, maybe that has happened. But it's fine if you want to do and cancel John Gruden, that's fine. But quit being hypocrites about it, NFL, because there's a whole bunch of other people that you're employing that have done far worse, far more recently, and in the public eye as John Gruden. But it doesn't happen that way, and that's just the life that we live in. Yeah, here you go. How about a Sooner, Joe Mixon?
Yeah, that's true.
Close to home. How about that?
Tyreek Hill. I mean,
Tyreek Hill.
Talk about Oklahoma players. I mean,
that's right.
I mean, yeah.
And so it's just it's one of those things that, you know, the hypocrisy of the NFL knows no bounds. But no one will point, but not many people will point any of that out. It'll just be pitchforks burned down John Gruden, and that's fine, and that's okay, because what he said in those emails wasn't good.
No.
Whatsoever. But others get away with actions that are far worse than John Gruden's words. What's your top five in the NFL?
We'll go 5-1. I'll start with the Chargers at number five. Because the Cowboys beat the Chargers, I got them at number four. Because the Bucs beat the Cowboys, I got them at number three. Cardinals undefeated, you got to put them up at least in top two. But the better-looking team, the best team, is clearly the Bills.
Yeah, I've got the Bills one. Man, their differential so far is off the charts. Plus 108 in a 4-1 season so far. They just dismantled Kansas City. It's the most baffling game almost of the year is still how in the world did Pittsburgh beat Buffalo in week one?
Defense.
Yeah, but 108, so they're plus 108. I got the Bills one. Man, am I being a homer here?
Maybe if you're going
to say
you're
a homer,
putting them at number two, I think. A little bit, Joe, a little bit.
Maybe I'm being a little homerish, but the Cowboys' defense is definitely better. That offense, good luck stopping them. I've got Dallas two. I'm going to put the Cardinals three. The Bucks four. And I'm going to have the Ravens instead of the Chargers.
Okay.
I've got the Ravens five. with the Chargers and the Packers right there as the next two. The Rams also. I think the Rams the Rams are good too. You're starting to see I think as we go along here, I think it's going to be kind of a 10 because here's the deal. When we do this next part, there's a bunch of bad teams. Bad teams.
Yeah.
And I think there's some good – there's some good teams, but I almost think there's more bad teams this year than there are good ones.
Yeah.
And so the bottom three – which I'll tell you,
mine or yours?
I'm trying
you
to
still
put,
thinking.
I'm trying to put them in order. Go ahead.
I'll go not so bad to the worst. I'll start with the Jets. They do have a win, but it's still the Jets. I'll go Lions and then Jaguars. The Jaguars are in a bad spot right now.
Yeah, the Jaguars are the worst, right?
Speaking of actions, how's that coach still have a job?
Yeah, no kidding. He may not. He may get left. He may get left in either on the tarmac heading to England, or they may lock him up inside Buckingham Palace when the game is over. I got the Jags.
It's not a bad place to get locked up.
Got the Jags as the worst team. Giants close. You know, with the injuries that the Giants have sustained.
Yeah, they had no reason being in that game because of those injuries.
That's right.
On Sunday.
And I'm afraid that they're bad. Injuries are a big part of why they're bad. But I've got Giants next. I actually don't – man,
that's why I couldn't put the Giants
in
there because of the injuries.
Detroit doesn't seem that bad.
They don't.
You know what I mean?
They feel like they are on –
how about this?
I mean, I love their coach, and I think they're on the cusp of something, but – the record is what it is. So.
They don't seem that bad. I'm going to put and I loved this team to start, and they're terrible. I'm going to put the Dolphins down there.
Yeah,
the Dolphins are bad, very very bad.
Yep.
So that I've got.
But
Jazz.
You're right. That's a harder list to make, I think.
Yeah, because there's a bunch
there's
of
a
bad
bunch
teams.
Of bad teams right now.
I mean, the Jets are no good. The Colts and the Texans are both 1-4. Look at that division, the AFC South. Quit making so much fun of the NFC East. Get down there to the South. 3-2 Titans who have lost to the Jets. And then you've got Houston and Indianapolis at 1-4. The Jags are 0-5. That's a pretty bad division in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
AFC East isn't any better. Bills, and then you got trash after that with New England and Miami and the Jets. You got two good divisions in the AFC and two really crappy ones.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm still holding my breath on Dallas. That's why I can't put them that high.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you just wait for that one injury or that one suspension or that one dud of a game. But they're playing. They're just looking for a little extra pep in their step, especially Zeke carrying the football.
Yeah, they're running the ball great.
Yeah.
Playing great defense. Hey, I almost forgot. I'm glad that I saw this guy text me, because yesterday all district achievements were announced for Class 4A District 1 fast pitch softball.
Oh, great.
Co-player of the year, Danny Satilli. She was the Elkett's pitcher. The catcher, the battery mate, all district catcher was Abby Robbins. All district utility freshman Ella Satilli, and also junior Riley Wyatt. Junior Haley Bowie was all district in the outfield. And honorable mentions, Brianna Butler, Emily Lawrence, and also Jill Metter.
Fantastic.
So, one of the parents told me he thought that was the most that the Elkettes have ever had as far as all district selections for fast pitch softball. Wouldn't be surprising to me, as that was, you know, talking to Coach Murray in here last week. You know, it's one of the better teams that the Elkettes have ever put on the field. And so that is very good.
Dare I say, could we see some All-Staters in there?
Maybe.
For consideration?
Yeah, maybe.
I would think Danny, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Well, congrats to all
of them. Congrats to all of them.
Yes.
And like I said, a great season. Just
ran, feels like it's building.
Ran out of clutch hits toward the
okay.
end.
That's okay. But it just feels like it's building up. You know, this program is – the base was laid a long time ago, but like I said on Friday night during our football broadcast, you know, the support is fantastic. And just, you say the greatest, one of the better teams that they've ever put out there. I don't think they're done.
No, no.
You know what I mean?
No, no. Because a bunch of those good names I just read were juniors.
Yeah, good stuff going on
here.
A
whole bunch of them. All right, rehashing the weekend in college football. You know, obviously the big story around here was the comeback that Oklahoma made against Texas in the Red River rivalry. And a big part of that, the catalyst of that, was the quarterback change with Caleb Williams taking over for Spencer Rattler. You know, the conversation yesterday surrounding Lincoln Riley, he declined to name a starter for TCU on Saturday. You know, there could be a multitude of reasons for that, one of which is to make Gary Patterson prepare for both.
That's, I think,
you know,
the main,
I mean, that's,
thing is,
that could be one. But, yeah. I mean, to the truth of it is, there's no choice to be made. The choice has been made. The hardest part of making that choice happened during that game on Saturday, and that was to put Caleb Williams in the game. Now you see what he can do, what he did as a true freshman in that environment to lead the Sooners back. There is no choice anymore. That choice has been made, and Caleb Williams has got to be the starter on Saturday night. Otherwise, I can't even imagine the reaction in that stadium if number 7 trots out there to take the first snap after what happened last Saturday. And if you want to, if the idea is to not break his spirit and not completely crush his confidence, having 86,000 people boo you for walking out to take a snap isn't the way to do that. So I think this is all just kind of theater of the absurd, and Caleb Williams will be starting as the quarterback on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think it's just to prepare Patterson, or to have Patterson prepare for two quarterbacks. It's to keep the opposing team on their toes. It's clear. It's Caleb Williams is the guy. The real question is what to do with Rattler.
Yeah, what does he? What does he do?
What does he do? What does he choose to do? Does he? Mm-hmm. Does he be a good teammate and stick around? Because listen, if Williams, heaven forbid, goes down, you still got to be there for your team. And there's that, I think that's a, you know, it's not so much a question of who's going to be the starter. The real question is, you know, what is Rattler going to do from this point forward?
Yeah, and
you know, some have suggested he's going to pack bags and leave and just get ready for the draft, which would be, I'm sorry to just bluntly say it, it'd be stupid. Or does he stick around, be a good teammate? And if you want to impress NFL scouts, you know, do the little things too. They pay attention to that. So I don't know. It's a tough spot for him personally. I almost feel sorry for him.
A little bit. I mean, you know, the one thing he hasn't done is just live up to the expectations that he didn't necessarily place upon himself.
It's true.
It was more the outside world putting those there. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he's going to do. I can understand the sentiment out there that, I mean, it's easy for us all to sit here and say this, but you would think the best course of action would be to show, even if your idea right now in your mind is, I'm leaving for the draft at the end of the season. Well, like you said, being a teammate and being a part of it and staying engaged would have to impress the scouting world,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to tuck and tail and running.
Right.
Obviously, from OU's standpoint, that would be the best case scenario because, as you said, in the event of an injury, or, you know, who knows, maybe Caleb Williams just had a great night and he's not really that good yet, or not really that good, period.
That was my theory, was they brought him in. Texas had no idea how to play against him.
Right. And so having Rattler there as the, you know, somebody to step in with that amount of talent obviously helps Oklahoma's team, plus with what's behind him. It's nothing but walk-ons and transfers, you know.
Wow,
so,
yeah, you want to keep that depth intact.
So from OU's standpoint, I, you know, it'll be interesting to see, because it sure doesn't seem like there's any reason for him to think he's going to be able to be a high draft pick. Now, once he gets into that process, maybe he wows people with his athletic ability. Maybe he wows them with the way he handles this, and you know, there's no way he's going to be one, you know, a top 5 pick, but with the way that quarterbacks are overvalued in that draft, if he handles himself the right way and then gets into that process where he shows off his talent, all he's got to do is convince one team. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I don't mean to get drafted. He's 100% would get drafted just because he has too much talent. Now, it may not be as high as he wants to, so then we got to start talking about where does he go portal-wise. I think it's interesting that he's where he's at with what happened prior to him getting there. How much does he or does he humble himself and reach out to Jalen Hurts? Similar situation.
Yeah.
And how he handled that and what his kind of criteria were to change course and go somewhere else, why he did what he did. I mean, that's a valuable asset, I think, for Rattler if he wants to use it. I just have a feeling with what he has shown us from the mental makeup standpoint, I'm afraid he's not going to make that choice. And I'm afraid I don't think he's going to jump in the portal or just quit the team. But I think by the time the season's over, you're not going to see him going somewhere else. You're going to see him declaring and going into the NFL draft. And I just don't know if that's the best course of action for him. But, hey, it's his life, and he can do what he wants to. This weekend, huge game down in Austin with OSU going down to Texas, Oklahoma State number 12 in the country, undefeated, Texas 4-2. Does the winner of this game secure a spot in the Big 12 title game?
It makes it a lot easier.
Especially if it's OSU, right?
Yeah. Makes a heck of a lot easier, because if you win this game being OSU, you could obviously you could survive a loss and win out.
You know, and maybe who it's to.
Exactly. So, yeah, and Texas already has that loss. They win this game. Who else do they have left on their schedule? Iowa State.
Both have to go to Iowa State.
Right. That's always the wrench in the system. But, yeah, they could have that inside track to securing a spot.
Because when we think about who is really in the Big 12 title game hunt, I think there's five teams.
Okay.
Maybe just four, but I'm going to give one team the benefit of the doubt that they're in it, and that's Baylor. Because they have that win over Iowa State. Right?
Right.
And so they lost to the Pokes, so OSU already has that one. And then Baylor's got Texas and Oklahoma at home. And they've already beat Iowa State, and they've already played OSU. So I'm going to put them in it, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Texas, and obviously Oklahoma. If we lean toward, okay, and OU's only played one of those four, beating Texas the other day. But if we lean toward, okay, Oklahoma's going to be one team, who's the other? I wouldn't count out Iowa State yet because they have those games at home against Texas and OSU. But I wouldn't count out Baylor either. You know what I think it might come down to? Which of those four upsets OU? Because then they don't have that loss on their resume that the way that the rest will. And if nobody does, then it's going to be a huge tie with all the tiebreakers that get involved in it.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of like a log jam up top right there. I mean, obviously OU leading the way undefeated so far.
And Oklahoma State as well.
But if OSU
can win in Austin on Saturday, they will have beaten Baylor. They will have beaten Texas. So, you know, tie-breaking-wise, they've got the upper hand there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes down to if they win at Iowa State, then it's almost elementary for Oklahoma State to be a team that's in it. And then you got to start looking at OU.
Happens at Bedlam.
That's right.
Or in Bedlam. And what would be the crazy scenario is we get to Bedlam, both teams undefeated in conference, and we're just like, well, we'll just see you next week. Should we just play flag football in this one?
Yeah, I had the conversation this morning.
I mean,
with somebody.
What do? You rest players? Clearly you can't do that. But
yeah, but if you're the winner, because by the way, it's not just undefeated in conference. Both teams would be undefeated, period. Because the non-conference
is
over.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and you're talking about a top 10 for sure matchup, if not top 5. You'd sure like to win that one.
What
because
if there's a crazy scenario of, two Big 12 teams in the playoff? I mean, what if Bama loses at Mississippi State?
You need a Bama loss. You know? You need a Cincinnati loss.
Yeah, you need some help.
And then you need just chaos in the Big 10.
Right.
to where there's no really second team there. There's no really, you know, Bama with two losses is out. I was thinking about that. You always hear that if they're, you know, going in as and we're going to start hitting more and more and more, except for Bama lost, was, oh, well, I mean, these two are on a collision course to be undefeated. It doesn't matter who wins. They're both in the playoff.
Yeah.
We'll still hear that if Bama wins the SEC with one loss, but pretty interesting.
Clock watching,
yeah,
but,
I'm watching it.
You want to give a quick top 10?
Top 10. I've got Georgia number one. Let me look here. Let me think about this. I didn't write it down because I was doing some other stuff. I'm going to go Georgia 1, probably Iowa 2, Oklahoma 3, Alabama 4, Cincinnati 5, Ohio State 6, Michigan 7, Penn State 8, Kentucky 9, and Oklahoma State 10.
Wow. Okay. Everything but one.
We have in the same order?
No.
I was going to say, whoa.
You left one team out and you inserted another. I got Georgia 1, Iowa 2, OU 3. I went Cincinnati 4 because they are undefeated. Give them some love. Bama 5, Michigan 6. Followed by Ohio State. Mm-hmm. By the way, that game could be fun. If those two
there's going to be a bunch of those in that the Big Ten East.
Where I'm at, Michigan State after Ohio State. They're undefeated.
Yeah, I forgot about them.
Penn State with the loss, they dropped to 9. And I put Kentucky at 10. Giving them some love before they get bounced by
They'll
Georgia.
Be gone after this week. All right, everybody, have a great day. It's radio time for me.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.